Wonderful. Thank you so much. Appreciate all the good music. And girls told me, they said, we're going to sing about Bigger Than Mountain to go along with your message. And so I was like, well, I got to preach on mountains. And they did a fantastic job. And Youth Choir, you did a fantastic job. And Sunshine Choir, you did a fantastic job. And, you know, it's interesting, just to remind you that, you know, we talk about kids not wanting to go to church, and when they, you know, get to be teenagers and they don't want to go to church and they don't want to, you know, go to an old-fashioned independent Baptist church, and you got to do all these things to keep kids in church. But you don't. You just got to include them. And, you know, we get to the place we wonder why they don't want to serve when they're adults. Well, we didn't train them to serve. We didn't teach them when they were young. And it's like, okay, well, you're old enough to do something now. And they're going, well, I don't want to do anything now. And so when you include them and they feel like they're part of the church, and it's not just, well, we send them down to the children's ministry, they need to be a part of this church, right? And the Spanish need to be a part of this church. And we're not all these separate churches, we're one. We may have different parts and different ministries, but we should be one. And so I'm very thankful for our young people, and you know, again, even starting here. So when you start them here and teach them not to be afraid to sing in front of the church, then guess what they do? They move up and they graduate to the youth choir, and the youth choir graduates hopefully someday and starts singing in the adult choir. And so thank you for allowing us to do that. And same thing with our musicians. As they teenagers, Brother Matt, of course, he's not a teenager, but he's still a young man. And I'm glad that that we not only a church that we're trying to teach and preach the Word of God, we're also a training ground, right? And if you ever stop being that, you end up losing workers and missionaries and every other thing that the church is to produce. Jesus told us this. He said we're to pray for laborers. And that's not always laborers for our church. It is laborers in the work of the ministry. And so it is our responsibility, every church's responsibility, not to reproduce and then keep everything right here. We're to send forth. Now, sending forth doesn't mean across the road and take half your people with them. Say amen. That's good preaching. It is going places where they don't have the gospel. And as we've tried on Sunday night to share with you, even in our own country, there's many places that do not have a gospel witness. Now, let me be careful here, because I was a missionary told me this. A lot of times missionaries come and say, well, here's a place that has no gospel witness. And he said, that's not 100% accurate. He said, a lot of times a place may have a gospel witness, a church that will preach the gospel, but they do not disciple. Right, they do not teach as we teach and train as we train from the Word of God. So it's not just enough to lead people to Christ so they'll go to heaven. We're to see them baptized and discipled, teaching them to observe all things. So just keep it up. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, and till the Lord comes. And then when He comes, we'll quit, and then somebody else can have the building, right? You'll get that. So, preacher, I thought we wouldn't be here. We won't. We'll let somebody else have it. We won't worry about it, right? We'll be in a better place, and better singing, better preaching. We'll just enjoy ourselves. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter number 4 this evening. So, again, Song of Solomon, you know this. We preached some messages out there. It's an unusual book. It is a book of love. And that matter of fact, used to be it was forbidden to read it. We look at it now, we're going, well, I don't see the big deal. What kind of tells you a little bit how much our culture has changed, right? That we're so inundated with perverse things that we'll look at something like this, we'll go, I don't see the big deal in it. But it is a book of love, and it is talks here about Christ's love for the church. And as we've been looking at that topic this year about mountains in Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible said, until the day break, and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hills of frankincense. Think about this as we look at that thought, the mountain of myrrh. All right, we all have in our mind what that is. We know that frankincense, myrrh, are spices and have medicinal benefits. And we look, so that's kind of unusual, right? I read something even today when it talks about the mountain of myrrh, that it is a parallel to Mount Moriah. We know Mount Moriah was the place where Abraham took Isaac and took him up on the mountain and was going to slay him. And, of course, the Lord provided. And when Isaac asked Dad, said, see the wood, see the everything, but where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? And he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And we see that picture of Christ, don't we? And so as we think of Song of Solomon, it's a book of love. You know, really, the whole Bible is a book of love. It is God's love letter to us. And it is a book about losing our love and then finding it. Now, how many of us, if we were honest, there was a time we were so in love with the Lord, so in love with Jesus, there was nothing like him. But our love got cold and waxed cold, and we took for granted that it would always be the same. I've been there, I'm sure you have as well. And so then we see the coming back of that that love affair, how, of course, God never leaves us, but sometimes we leave him. And so it's about it being and enjoying the presence of the greatest love. You know what's interesting to me is we get to the place we don't enjoy the things of God if we get too fleshly. The farther we get away from the things of God, it seems like they're a burden to us. If we're not careful, we start loving everything in this world except for the one thing we should love, and that's God. So in verse 6, the Bible gives us an unusual picture. A mountain. A mountain like none else. And maybe more interesting is that it is called the Mountain of Myrrh. And myrrh was a valuable spice that was used for many things in that day. And as we look at mountains, we will learn much from the Mountain of Myrrh. And you say, preacher, why does it really matter? Because I don't know about you, but in the day that we live where it seems like there is so much attack on the believer, so many pitfalls, so many things that hurt us, and so many things that seem that the devil has weaponry, right? I mean, the fact is, we stay injured. Can we agree with that? I was reading, and it's interesting to me how offended people are. We talk so much about people being offended. We have to cancel this because it offends someone. We have to watch ourselves here because it offends someone. And I realize the Bible tells us we are not to offend. But if you read your Bible, the Bible also says that we're not to be offended. Right? We're not to be offended. And so oftentimes we're more offended, and so therefore we go in this shell, this cocoon, and we think everybody's hurting us, and it seems like every time we turn around, someone's injured, someone's feelings are hurt, someone is emotionally hurt, someone is spiritually hurt. And so when we look at myrrh, it's not just a spice. It has some characteristics in the Bible that they used in Bible times that will help us today. Number one, this myrrh, it is for our health. It's for our health. You say, what's it got to do with health, preacher? Well, the myrrh was used in Bible times in the sanctuary for praise and for worship. And so it is for our health in our praise. Tonight, may I say this, it was used in the temple as part of worship. And worship, my friend, is good for our physical health, our emotional health, and our spiritual health. It's amazing when we worship God, how it affects us. It's amazing how when we worship God, how it makes us better physically. Listen, a lot of our physical problems are here and here, and it causes physical ailments. But it is amazing when we praise God, when we worship God, when we're at that place where we stop focusing on us and start focusing on Him, and we think about the blessings and we think about the goodness of God and how God's been good to us and how God has blessed our family and how God has provided and how God has saved us and how God has done so many things for us, it makes us happier. Listen, Christian friend, you ought to be happy. But I got all these things going on that are bad, and all these circumstances and all this going on at work and all these problems. But you're saved. God loves you. Listen, friend, I'm saying worship is good for your physical health. You ought to try it once in a while. Listen, some of you Baptists ought to just have you a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost shouting spell once in a while and see if it doesn't relieve some anxiety. Man, I tell you what, enjoying the things of God's better than Xanax. Having a good old shouting spell where God opens up the windows of heaven and starts showing you the blessings of God, that's a whole lot better than old crow, amen. I'm just saying maybe it's time God's people start enjoying him, enjoying God. And when we do, when we look at that mountain of myrrh for our health, it's our praise in our, not only our praise, our worship, listen friend, is good for us. We were created to worship God. Now listen, you realize tonight that there are certain animals, well, every animal is created for a certain purpose, right? Now you won't look at a lion and say, and the problem is this, Brother Chad, people look and say, we want to make a lion, we want to make him a pet. Well, number one, you're dumb. God created lions to kill stuff and eat them. That's what they do. It's in their nature. That's what they're created for, right? And so to do anything else would be out of sorts and would put that animal in a place that it's not doing what it's created to do. Well, what were you created for? Well, I don't know my purpose in life. Listen, I want to be the purpose-driven life, and I want to know what my purpose, and I want to know what my plan. Let me help you with that. You don't need to buy 50,000 books. You don't need to stress about it. Let me tell you what your purpose is, to worship God. Let me say it again, to worship God. He didn't put you on earth to go get 55 college degrees and earn all the money. Nothing wrong with those things, but that's not why you're here. You're here to worship God. You're here to bring glory to Him. And so listen, anything else that we're doing that is not worshiping God is not why we were created. People are miserable because they're out there searching for answers, searching, why am I here? What's my purpose? What should I do? Give me some direction. Lord, take this, take this. Why don't you try worshiping God a little bit? Not only is it good for our health and our praise, it is good in our prevention. In our prevention, the myrrh is the antioxidant. In other words, it prevents breakdowns. Do you get that? It prevents breakdowns. How many of you had a breakdown in the last year? Had a COVID breakdown, amen? How many of you had a breakdown, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is? Sometimes we're prone to, and that antioxidant keeps things from breaking down. It's good for you, amen? That mountain of myrrh, that mountain of worship, that mountain of praise, it's good for you. Say amen right there. And so it prevents decay. It prevents the decay of sin. When you're up on the mountain of worship, you're on the mountain of myrrh, you know what you're doing? You're focusing on Jesus Christ. It keeps us from the decay of sin. It keeps us from the breakdown of sin. It keeps us from that emotional and physical and spiritual breakdown that we're so prone to because we get our eyes off of God and get it on the world. But when we get to that mountain of myrrh, that mountain of praise, that mountain of worship, I'm glad, my friend, that it can get us to the place where it restores our health. Not only in our praise and our prevention, but then in our physical appearance. They used myrrh. Listen, ladies, we were on the treadmill the other day, and Cindy Crawford, one of them, came on there selling some skincare stuff. Said, she's only 50-some years old, and look how young she looks. And I think Miss Deb and Jeff, I said, man, I may need to get some of that. Isn't it amazing that we'll buy anything that will make us look better? Maybe we just need myrrh, right? See, they used it for healthy skin. They used it to affect their outward appearance. You with me? It is amazing, right, that you can almost tell outwardly when someone is walking with God inwardly. our outward appearance, what goes on the outside, should reflect what goes on the inside. Hey, listen, Christians call it legalism. Well, you know, you got these rules you got to follow, and if you don't follow them, you don't love God, and that's wrong. You should have a heart for God. I agree with that. But friend, when your heart's right, it'll show on the outside. Amen? There's a different complexion to people that have been with God. How do you know? Look at Moses. When he came down off the mountain, they couldn't look at him. Amen? Because he'd been in the presence of God. There's something different. You can look at people's face and tell what they're going through if they're walking with God. You can look at their Facebook post. Amen? Facebook post and figure out what's going on. Because if they're not walking with God, it reflects in what they put on it. When they're walking with God, they encourage. They make much of him. When they're walking with self, when they're in the pity party, parties of life, when they're not on that mountain of myrrh, it's all about my problems. But when we're walking with God, it's all about him. So it affects our physical appearance. It's for our health. Listen, I ain't talking about, listen, don't get mad at me, Baptist folk. I'm not talking about, listen, he's up here because he's lost some weight and trying to eat better, trying to get us. You do what you want to do. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about that when we really praise God, when we focus on him and worship him, it is good for us. Brother Jerry, nothing wrong being happy, right? Nothing wrong being glad. Nothing wrong with walking on cloud nine once in a while. Nothing wrong with not being down in the dumps every day when you wake up. Some Christians I know, Brother Jimmy, they make droopy look happy. Brother Bob, we better watch all the droopy we can for the cancel him. Listen, Bugs Bunny going to be canceled for long. Bugs didn't do a thing to anybody. That mountain of myrrh is good for your health. But then, number two, it's good for your healing. I get it. Brother Eddie, I get it. It would be great if every day we woke up, everything went well, right? I mean, it just clicked every single day. Woke up, man, the birds are singing, the sun's shining, there's no cloudy days. Doesn't happen that way, does it? So it's good for preventing things, but then it's good for healing, because sometimes we need healing. Sometimes we've been through the ringer, man. We've been through the storm. Nothing any man can say, nothing you read helps. You just need something from God. Well, can I say that mountain of myrrh is a place of healing? What does it heal from? Myrrh was used to prevent infection. Myrrh heals us from infection. Myrrh is used as an antiseptic. You remember when you was growing up, your mom would bring that alcohol out? I'm talking about the kind you thinking of, Baptist folk. I'm talking about the cleaning kind. You'd skin your knee, and the first time she did, you didn't know what was coming. But after that, she pulled that thing out. What'd you say? No! Because you knew it was going to burn. And all mamas do the same thing when they pour it on there. They blow on it. And it don't do a bit of good. Hold on, I'll blow on it. Might save your breath, right? Doesn't help. Feels like somebody has lit a bomb and put on your knee when you skin it. Antiseptic does not always feel good, but it's not meant to. It's there to clean the wound. My friend, may I say that the Word of God does not always feel good, but when we're injured, when we need healing, it is antiseptic. It cleans the wound. The Holy Ghost cleans the wound. Bible preaching, Bible teaching cleans the wound, right? And so it's not always pleasant, but the mountain of myrrh cleanses from all the things that will infect us. Hey, it's not just the dirt that gets in that wound. It's the bacteria. It's the stuff that you don't see, right, that gets down in there and causes problems. And so same thing with our life. You may look at sin and say, well, it's not that big a deal. It won't affect me that much. But I promise you this, what you're not seeing is the long-term effects of it. And so when we look so much, there's so much coming at us from different angles, right? There's so much coming at us. The devil's got so many weapons. And so I promise you this, listen to me, you're going to get hit. You don't have enough armor not to get hit. You're going to get hit once in a while. And it may be, right, the Bible talks about wounds, the wounds of a friend. May not be where you think it might come from. May not come from the White House, amen. It may be people that you never thought would hurt you, never turn on you, never stab you in the back, right? People that you stood up for, people that you prayed for, people that you have been there for, people that you have gone to bat for. And those hurt the worst. But what we need is that myrrh, that frankincense, that healing. It heals. Because here's what happens. You know what happens when you get an infection? It's not, it spreads. So you today, tonight, you say, oh, I can handle it. I've been hurt, I've been injured, but I'm handling it. Well, if you don't get around the right antiseptic, if you don't get around the things of God, if you don't let God do some healing on you, you know what's going to happen? You'll become bitter. There's a lot of folks out of church tonight. Now, they'll give the excuse. Brother Bob, they'll give the excuse, I got hurt. But if they were honest, they may not even know it. The reason they're out of church is because that infection of being hurt has spread and it's become bitterness. Right? They can go back and say, well, this is where I got hurt at. But the condition they have now is not the initial injury. It's the spread of the infection that they didn't get cleaned up when it first happened. Amen? And I don't care how strong you are and how spiritual you are and how close to God you are, you're going to get injured in this thing of walking with God. It won't be from God. But the Bible does say all those, right? Everyone, all of us, that live godly will suffer persecution. So you are included in that all. So am I. So you and I had better find a way to deal with it and not lash out, right? We got to figure out a way to be healed. And the healing is not from, as we said, I believe Wednesday night, it's not always about speaking your mind. Sometimes it's about letting God deal with you. Because I can't fix Brother Chad, right? If he's injured me and I praise the God take care of him, he needs to come apologize to me or I'm not going to be able to get over it. But he may never do that. So I can pray for him, but I better be praying for me, because if I'm not careful, I'll be the one who gets bitter. I'll be the one who is no good to God. It may not even bother him. Maybe some of you tonight are facing that. You've been injured in the past, you just can't get over it. Well, let me say this again. If you're looking for that person that should apologize who offended you to fix the problem, you're probably going to remain injured. Better figure out a way to deal with it. You better figure out a way to deal with that initial infection, because if once it spreads, it's hard to get rid of. Amen? That myrrh was used in our healing from infection, but also from illness. Myrrh is a treatment for some common problems like respiratory and digestive problems. So when we look at that mountain of myrrh, it's not only about infection, it's about illness. We look and see the Bible. Jesus healed many kinds of illness. We see leprosy. He cleansed from leprosy, blindness, deafness, lame, right? All of us have some kind of illness. It may not be an infection necessarily, but myrrh was a treatment. It heals from the many diverse
temptations. The Bible said we will face divers, different types of temptation, and the temptation for him, the trial for him, may not be the same for him, but it's good for all those things, amen? That God, it gives us a remedy for all the illness that we have, and it's not worldly, right? It is godly, it's spiritual. There's no two people, what I realize is, Brother Jimmy, no two people are alike. No two people go through the same trials. No two people react to the same trials the same way. So you may look and say, I don't know what in the world, Miss Jennifer and Brother Chad, I don't understand why they're going through this and why they're dealing with it the way they are. But you know what? They just need to get over it. Well, that's how you would handle it. That may be how you did handle it. But you ain't them. You look, I'll give you a prime example. You look at this COVID-19 virus. Some people didn't hardly affect them. Some people it affect them a little bit. Some people it affect them more than that, right? It affected people different ways. Same thing with what goes on in life. It affects you differently. And so when we look at it, we have to realize that the common treatment for all the illness is the same. The mountain of myrrh. Mountain of worship, mountain of praise, the word of God, closeness with God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. They're all the same. Doesn't matter what ails you. Oh, but you don't understand, preacher. You don't understand what I've been through. The solution's the same. The great physician. And then finally, it is healing from injury. Myrrh has a healing property against wounds. Now, part of the problem, I think, with people today is they're soft, right? Kids are soft. Now, don't get mad at me, mamas and daddies, but I want you to think. You don't have not one kid that slides down one of them metal sliding boards that has no railing on it. It's 785 degrees and skin's coming off the whole way down. And they don't cry. You know what they do? Climb up and do it again. You got to have rubberized mulch everywhere, right? You can't have a merry-go-round anymore. Man, that's the best thing on the playground. You get on that merry-go-round and you'd try to hold on while they try to throw you off. And you'd get thrown off. And I remember at our playground, of course, you know, our playground was a little rougher than y'all's probably. But they had this one thing. It was had all these handles and chains on it, and it spun around. And man, it was like you were on this big I don't even know what it's called. But you'd hold on to it, and you'd get as many people as you could, and you'd run around, and next thing you know, you're all in the air. And if you let go, I remember we didn't have enough dirt there where the concrete was, and inevitably if you came off there, you're going to hit your knee on that concrete. How many of you parents and grandparents got scars? Skin up knee. Hey, all of us had skin up knees, skin up elbows, skin up faces. Some of you still got skin up faces. But it made you tougher, didn't it? Your mom had put some of that Bactine on there. I don't even know if it worked. Just spray that old green cap Bactine on there. And it'd burn, right? She'd put some salve on it. Put a Band-Aid and you'd go out and do it again. Spiritually, where are those guys at? Brother Matt, now it's amazing we get injured and we ball up in fetal position. Man, you're a wimp if you got injured and you quit. Just tape it up and go on. And now it's like everything has to stop, Brother Jose. Listen, Brother Jose, great soccer player. I wouldn't play soccer for nothing. You know why? Because it'd kick you in the leg. You ever been kicked in the leg? In the shin playing soccer? Does it hurt? Yeah. Did you quit? No. You know what we are today? Spiritual sissies. We get hurt, we quit. Maybe we just need to put something on it, right? Moms and grandmas say, rub some dirt on it, right? Get back in there. That myrrh has a healing property against wounds. And think of all the ways we are wounded and injured. I want to say this. Wounds are a part of growth. They're part of growth. Part of getting out there and exploring, right? When you're a kid. I remember, I don't know how old I was, but we had a tiller. I was little. I saw my dad out there with that tiller, and he'd gone inside for something, and I thought, well, I think I want to do that. And I pulled the cord, the start cord, and I wasn't strong enough, and when it pulled back, it threw me on the muffler. And so I burnt my arm right there. I was scared to go tell anybody because I thought I'd get in trouble. And so I still have a scar right there. I got another scar right here. It's playing ball in the backyard, and our chain link fence has those little spikes on the top of it. And I reached over to catch a ball, and it went down on those spikes. And when I pulled back, it just tore that meat out. A big scar. Got scars on my hands. Scars on my knees. So do you. They're reminders, right? I'm not going to reach over a chain link fence with spikes on it ever again. I'm careful when I pull on the pull cord, right? I'm probably not going to land on a muffler. We talked this morning in Sunday school about kids putting their hand on the hot stove. It's a reminder. But sometimes, you know what we do? That's hot. Oh, that's hot. Maybe it won't be hot this time. Oh, it's still hot. Maybe it doesn't hurt as bad this time. Oh, yes, it does. We don't learn. We just keep doing the same dumb thing, right? Can't figure out why we can't heal from hurt. Because you gotta put the myrrh on. I remember moms and dads, especially mamas, right? You'd have a scab. They don't pick that scab. Gonna get a scar. Pick that scab, gonna get a scar. How many of you got scars because you pick scabs? You know what that scab was? Healing. And you'd pull it off. What'd it do? Start bleeding again. It'd scab over again. And again, you know what we do? Pull the scab off. And it'd bleed. We don't learn. God gives us some properties for healing, and we turn them down. The mountain of myrrh is about worship. It's about healing. It's about our health. It's about not only our... God's given it to us to help us in our walk. And so tonight, you may be injured, you may be hurt, you may have all kinds of problems in life. And you're looking for a solution. There it is. You need to get to the mountain of myrrh. It's amazing how the cross fixes so many problems. The blood of Christ fixes so many problems. If you're here this evening, you've never trusted Christ your Savior, there's your solution. If you're here today and you're a Christian, but you say, listen, I can't go on because I'm injured, I'm beat up, I'm hurt, I'm infected, I've got illness, whatever it is, solution's still the blood of Jesus. Whatever you need, He is the solution. Let's stand together. Stand together all over the auditorium. The altar's open. If you need to come, need someone to pray with you, just come get some help tonight. Come get some help. Don't be a victim. Don't go out of here injured. Don't go out of here hurting. Come on, people are coming. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you're saved, will you come? You don't know for sure you go to heaven when you die, will you come? You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be hurt. You don't have to be injured. You can come. You come on, mind God. If He wants us to have an abundant life, if He wants us to have a life in Him, He's going to provide all that we need. Just come. Don't let pride keep you from God's blessings.